You're a bitch.
Me. That's our opening line. I've been recording for 5 seconds.
Oh! Can you tell me anything?
You heard it here.
You heard it here.
You just said.
Just my brother's picking on me. He's so nice. My
ass. You guys heard behind the scenes, bitch.
Well, didn't you hear what happened right before that? You just caught what nothing. The end of it. No.
Nothing happened. I was saying, I hope you enjoyed your dinner.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, all right. Whatever.
Wait, I thought y'all didn't eat.
Yeah,
we did. Oh. Satisfied still.
Look at that face. Does it look like more. A face that hasn't ate yet?
Damn.
He's smiling.
Well, who are you talking about?
You.
Well, welcome in, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. God. I don't
care. Brother fighting out of the way. Castro's favorite part of every interaction that starts with you two. Watching y'all fight on your way up to the door. Well, you can hear we're closer to 100% back. We got William back and
Simon
Fons and Juan Jose Deez is back in. Hey,
what's up, Deez? What's up, Mario?
Hey, friends.
What's up, man? Welcome back.
Fuck you, Lando. Just kidding. What's up, bro?
Question for you: Did you give a listen to any of the content you missed last week?
Damn, you got me.
Damn, bro,
you got me. I didn't. I didn't.
Whatever we want.
I did not.
Well,
I was gonna listen in this morning on the way to work.
Liar.
I was, and then I was just jamming out to my music and got lost in music.
What music? What's on the jam. What's top of the playlist these days?
All on the Teddy Swims.
Oh, I love that.
Teddy Swims.
That guy doesn't look at all the way he sounds.
Right? He doesn't. But it's so good. He's so good.
Well, better than us, I guess. Won the rights on the way home.
The Doors specifically is what I was jamming to.
The Doors, the band?
Even the
track.
No, the track, yeah.
I should know better.
There's a remix I was listening to as well. So, anyways.
Yeah,
who cares?
He's good.
Well, I actually can't remember your matchup, although it was close. But yeah, might as well jump into it. Start with yours since you didn't pay any attention to it last week.
Mine?
Yeah.
Me.
You.
Mm. Wait, Deez, how did you do in your parlay?
Oh, terrible. Yeah, I've yet to hit one that
you just stopped doing that
we put together. Nah, man.
Well,
all it takes is one. One to hit big.
Yeah, exactly.
So can we recap what that was real quick, the six that got picked?
Sure.
Because each of us picked two.
Let me bring it up here. I have it in my...
I got it in front of me. And I was actually just listening, unlike William. I was on it and then listened back because I wanted to see how right we were. I got to say, I was pretty on the money.
Shut up.
I was pretty happy with this. There was a lot of things that got put out that I was like, oh, that's true. Everything except my own team. I was right for everybody else. But even that wasn't too far off. I was shitting on the Dolphins, saying they're absolute trash. That turned out to be correct. When you picked Dallas Goedert as your parlay pick, and I talked you out of it, you switched to Tony Pollard. That one actually ended up hitting. Unfortunately, what I just heard was Jose picking Breece Hall on my game. He had originally picked Justin Jefferson and changed it over to Breece Hall, mostly because of you, Fons. I said I was worried about the Denver defense, and you're like, I feel like Aaron Rodgers loves Breece Hall. He's going to do it. He's going to get him. So
he does. He loves Breece Hall.
You fixed Goddard onto Pollard, but then you undid yourself by swaying Jose to go Breece Hall. Damn. I want to say the only person that went 2 for 2, this guy, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Deontay Johnson, both found the end zone. And then Tony Pollard did hit. So 3 hits, 3 misses, Chris Godwin, Fons, Aaron Jones. Jose, you were really close to picking someone else in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look at Joe's roster to truly remember. But went with Aaron Jones because of the return to Green Bay revenge game narrative. And then Breece Hall. So the only like true 100% miss I'm going to say was Chris Godwin. So that one's on you, Fons.
No, he'd been scoring every week. First week he didn't score. Baker Mayfield is hot.
He
scored
been.
A million points in that game.
Well, what I should do is, and we can still do it, is like, nope, like I'll reveal everyone's pick, but everyone send it to me separately. So that I can just read it off. Like, here's what Fons picked. That way there's no like, you know, go with your gut feeling. No one gets persuaded to say anything other than what they originally felt for that person scoring a touchdown. So maybe that's the better route. So negative influence.
This man would have had Dallas Goedert.
I like the live feed that we give each other on this. We just got to be strong enough and stick to what we say.
Unless it's like Dallas Goedert as well.
What do you know? You don't even listen to it.
I listened to the last one.
We just asked you that.
The last one before this.
Oh, okay. So not the last one.
Got him.
Yeah, dude. Through like 4 weeks. Yeah, the 4 weeks of the NFL season, I have yet to hit a parlay. I'm a responsible gambler, so it's not like I'm down, you know, several hundreds of dollars or anything like that. But they come so close. Like I am one leg off every week.
I got you this week.
This past week, I had two parlays that would have hit, but it was just one leg that didn't come through. One of which being Josh Allen to throw over 200 yards, and he stopped at 180. He had 176 midway through the third, and they were down. But because the Ravens scored again, they pulled him at the start of the fourth.
Good God.
So now I was like, are you like, of course this would happen. So it's stuff like that. It's just, I'm going to hit one of these days, and it's going to be glorious, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You sound like every gambler that funds these large entities. So close. Just one more. I'll keep doing it again.
Yeah, I swore 2 days ago, like, I'm done. I'm not gambling. I'm not betting on sport. I'm not doing sports betting for the rest of the season. And here I am like, we got another parlay that we're going to cook up, gentlemen.
It's a new week.
Yeah.
New
week. Yes.
Of course maybe a six for the boldness, and then maybe a three, just like weed out your least favorite three. And, you know, it's more likely to, because we did hit half of them. You would have had to pick the right half on it, but we'll figure it out as we go through. That's for the preview, which will be next episode. But right now we're recapping what happened. Busy week going into the final three games, I guess, since they were two Monday Night Football games. A lot of projections were close. I feel like three games were within a point, and then no game finished within 20 points of each other. Justin made a comment. He goes, I had the narrowest margin of victory and I won by 20. I was like, damn, I didn't realize so much separation happened on the last couple nights. But
yeah,
those the stupid Monday night games. And then who was Sunday night? Oh, that was the Ravens. That was the Ravens game. Ravens Bills. But anyway, might as well jump into it, recap what happened to us this week. William, you're as good a place to start as any. You were one of the projections that was a nail biter for most of the day, I think, going into the Sunday night games. You're pretty neck and neck. It was pretty much Kenneth Walker against JSN. And that alone kind of explains why you ran away with it. Not JSN. Who did he have? He had somebody on.
Calvin Ridley.
Okay. Ridley. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that explains it.
His San Francisco defense went off, of course. So, and then Rasheed Rice, the beginning of the game. Pat Mahomes decides to hit and knock out his own teammate.
Can I say?
Go ahead.
Can I say, William, this is bad karma, okay? Because a couple weeks ago, all my players, you were like, oh, blow out his knee. Like, oh, land on his knee. Fuck up his knee.
You're right.
I feel bad for Rasheed Rice, the human, the football player. Well, but
let's not forget that William. Rasheed Rice himself fled from the scene of an accident long ago. Dude, the comments under the video on Reddit were fucking hilarious. Karma. Everyone's like, oh, he'll be fine. I've seen him walk away from way worse collisions.
God.
I didn't see that.
And then people were just doing a bullet point summary. It's like, quarterback throws terrible interception. You hustle to force a fumble. Quarterback kills you. 1, 2, 3.
Fantasy gods punished you.
I still hope Saquon breaks his knee, dude.
Oh, you don't learn.
What I have to lose? I got like five players on IR over here. I got nothing to lose at this point.
Damn. Coming off a win, you're packing it up already?
No, I'm not going to lose. I'm still going to win. I'm just saying I got a lot of people hurt.
You got some talent coming still. Well, let's come through. Your new pickup, Sam Darnold, did pretty well for you. 20.5 coming in. Kenneth Walker, man, home run hitter. Coming off an injury, we were a little bit nervous that maybe it's a split. He only carried 12 times, but 80 yards and three touchdowns. Absurd. Yeah,
three touchdowns.
Nico Collins, I think, leads the league in receiving yards. Among he's like the number one wide receiver right now.
Yep.
And
I would have number two, Rashee Rice.
I think he's number four.
He's number 13 with a donut on this last game. So he might have been, you know, top seven or so, depending on how that game went. And that's, I mean, we don't have to go too in-depth with these. I guess the only talking point, obviously, Rashee Rice. There's no final word on him right now, right? Is he?
Yeah, they haven't said how long he's going to be out. So who knows?
Didn't look good.
Didn't look good. DeAndre Swift on my bench went off.
Right when we buried him. So this dude is ass. He's getting plenty of work and doing nothing with it. 5-4-4 first three games. Goes nuts in this one. 16 for 93, touchdown. Catches 7 balls for another 70 yards. He was finally what everyone thought he had the potential to be, except for the Roschon Johnson apologists thinking that this was going to be a split at some point. Yeah, I don't know. If that continues, maybe you're in decent shape.
I hope so. I mean, I lost one player already, so yeah, hoping for the best.
Over on Warwick's side, I didn't say the final score. It was 103-76, and like I said, it was nail biter going in. But Kenneth Walker,
it really was
29-1.5 for Calvin Ridley. That was pretty much all she wrote on that.
Yeah, I thought I was going to lose against Warwick because how close it was. And Kenneth Walker just went off.
One of the talking points we had was Pat Mahomes, and on Warwick's side, pretty much being borderline benchable at this point. Said he hadn't gone over 20 points in forever. 14, 12, 16 in his first three games. Comes away with 13 again in this one, and now he doesn't have his number one target. So I don't see it getting better anytime soon for this guy. That being said, we were like, oh, throw in Derek Carr. He puts up 8 on the bench.
Yeah.
Not like it would have helped him. So, like, I mean, I guess Mahomes gets you that floor, and maybe he starts to run more now that he's got, you know, one less reliable pass catcher out there. But, I mean, his floor seems to be about 12, and his ceiling seems to be about 17. So if you just are comfortable with that, sure. But
that offense is struggling, for sure, with losing as many people as they have so far. Pacheco, Rashee Rice.
That was another comment. People saying, like, Pat Mahomes trying to prove he's so good, he's taking out his own receivers just so he can win a Super Bowl.
Oh, I got it.
James Cook, not great, but the whole Buffalo offense was just that was bad. That was a beat. Man, something about Baltimore in prime time. Remember last year when they played the Niners and everyone was like, oh, this could decide MVP, and Baltimore just obliterated them. It had the same sort of vibes as that game. Malik Nabers continues to crush it. Chris Godwin did not score a touchdown. 6 catches on 9 targets for 69 yards. We were talking about Calvin Ridley and whether or not he's reliable. 3 targets, 1 catch, 5 yards. Obviously, Will Levis went out. I'm not sure that would have changed a whole lot. So really, Warwick's only saving grace here was his Niners defense, his most valuable asset. His keeper defense. Not a whole lot he could have done. The bench was pretty quiet too. Just one of those weeks. But like I said, William, you do walk away 103-76. You are both sitting at 2-2 now. Congrats on your dub. I know you were biting your nails all day after DeAndre Swift went off on the bench.
I actually didn't mind it as much. DeAndre Swift went off. I'm glad he did. Finally, he showed up because I know he's capable. But it wasn't nobody for sure. I thought I was going to lose. And then Kenneth Walker scored 1, 2, and then a 3rd touchdown. Oh, dude.
Not 1. Not 2.
Not 2.
It seems like there's somebody every week that scores, that does a hat trick and gets 3 touchdowns. And I'm thinking in my head of the matchups and trying to – I'm gonna pick the next one out.
It's going to happen. Parlay on multiple touchdowns.
Whoa. So what, week 1 was Saquon?
Saquon. 2 was Kamara.
I feel like Kamara.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
3 was Kyron Williams.
There was also Juwan Jennings at one point. I don't know if it was two or three.
Oh,
three.
Yeah, that was last
week. It was three.
And then now it's Kenneth Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be week five?
Those odds are crazy, too. Yeah.
The next one is DeAndre Swift. It's DeAndre Swift.
Fuck off.
So. Watch what it is.
We'll see that. We'll see that in the
preview. Good game, Wark.
Good game to Wark. All right. Next up. Jose, you got somebody in mind?
Let's do Isaac and Justin, if we don't mind. Justin came away with the win, 110.72 to Isaac's 90.74. I'll start on Isaac's side. Anthony Richardson got injured again, which seems like to be a reoccurring theme here. Only put up five. Jordan Mason continues to be consistent in that 49ers backfield. I selfishly was hoping that, you know, that they would start splitting the work a bit and maybe getting a rookie involved or something, you know, maybe an Isaac Garendo or something. But no, it seems to be Jordan Mason's backfield and continues to be so. Zach Moss.
On a side note, I started Isaac Garendo in another league where I just have no running backs whatsoever. And I didn't look at his stats until the end of the day, and I saw -2. I go, what? He goes, one carry, one fumble, -2 points. God damn. I could have started nobody and been better off.
Yeah, I have Garendo and Carson Steele in my taxi. And I was like, let me see how the Rooks did. And yeah, just negative points. I'm like, oh my God. Jeez. Zach Moss put up 13 for the Bengals there. JSN, Brandon Ayuk, Cole Kmet, all just pretty meh days. I don't know if Ayuk's had – no, he hasn't. I was going to say, I don't know if Ayuk's had a typical fantasy week that we saw from 2023, like last year's production. I mean, 2.8, 4.3, 4.8, and 4.8 again. I don't know what's going on with him in the 49ers, but I would not want
to – This is why you don't skip camp. Yes, Peyton Manning, get your ass in camp. This is why you work on this. Did you see him go off when he dropped the touchdown a couple weeks ago? Oh, that was awesome.
Wow. It was that first week, I think. And yeah, I was agreeing with him.
In his hands. Oh, he was so pissed.
Yep. I would hate to have that guy on my roster right now. Anyways, Cole Kmet, yeah, just pretty mad day, 3.4. I didn't watch the Bears game, but he has a questionable tag on him, so I don't know what happened there. But Michael Pittman, calling this out because I'm pretty sure in the preview, week four preview, I was against Pittman and I was like, no, take him out. I wouldn't want to see that in my lineup. And I think, I'm lying. I was going to say, I think he had the second most fantasy points for Isaac and he was actually the third. Six receptions for 113 yards. So
I just listened to this. I'm going to save you on this one. You did say to take Pittman out, as we all did, which, number one, we didn't foresee Joe Flacco coming in. If Flacco came in, right, that changes things. That was, yes, Anthony Richardson contingent. Number two, we all said put in Brian Thomas instead, who outscored Michael Pittman. So, still correct.
And I feel like I made a mention on Worthy, too. Like, oh, one of those guys. Like, throw him in. but, yeah, if it was BTJ, then that makes sense because I have a small fantasy crush on BTJ there. So, live and learn, Isaac. Chuba Hubbard, 18 fantasy points, 18 carries, 100 yards, one touchdown. I'm happy to see the Panthers offense kind of come together as a Deontay Johnson owner. But yeah, I don't know how much longer that production for Hubbard lasts. I know they have the rookie. I'm blanking on the name right now. Jonathan
Brooks.
Thank you. Yeah. I knew the first name was Jonathan, is going to eventually come in and probably take some carries away. I don't know what that split will look like, but got to enjoy it while you can. And then rounding out the kicker, Baltimore kicker only had five, and Miami just all around was a terrible, terrible week for them, but only two fantasy points for the defense. And then we mentioned it on the bench, Brian Thomas Jr., 15.9 fantasy points, comes away with the touchdown. So does Xavier Worthy, three catches, 73 yards and a touchdown. Those are just, I feel like those are going to be the numbers for Worthy. Just, couple of receptions, but break away for long yardage and potentially one or multiple touchdowns. So the future is bright, but the That, present that is not.
Jeez. That was another one that was right on the money. Again, we didn't foresee Rashee Rice going out of the game, but specifically said he'll touch the ball 3 to 4 times, 3 catches on 4 targets, and you just got to hope he breaks one off. And that was spot on. And it's like, it's a prayer every single week. If it works, great. If not, it's a bust. So 13 on the bench wouldn't have saved him in this case, but that is exactly what he's going to be every time.
Yep. Flip it on over to Justin's side, Lamar Jackson, 23 fantasy points. Tony Pollard, as we mentioned earlier, did come away with the touchdown. Got really good volume in that backfield, 22 carries, 88 yards. Josh Jacobs, 9 carries, 51 yards, nothing special. But his receivers here, Amonra and Stephon Diggs, both come away with a touchdown. Amonra had 14 fantasy points and Diggs had 13.5. Goddard, modest day, couldn't repeat what he did last week, which I think was like 11 targets, 10 receptions, 170 yards. But still, again, it's good to see him get involved when there is very little options over there in Philly at the moment, with all the injuries. And then we have Rashad White, which I'm pretty sure I said take Rashad White out for someone else, but
JMO, you said for JMO, which again was the right call.
Thank you. Jameson Williams on the bench, 2 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, that would have. Justin still came away with the win, but if points are what you're going for, that would have definitely helped out. And then Xavier Leggett, kind of coming alive here in this offense. 6 catches for 66 yards and a touchdown. That offense is much brighter with Dalton, and that'll continue, hopefully, for all the guys that for fantasy. Kicker and defense didn't really do much there, and we already touched on the bench a little bit. But another mention is Jordan Addison, 1 carry for 7 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm sorry, 1 carry, 7 yards, a rushing touchdown, and 3 catches for 72 yards and a receiving touchdown. So two touchdowns on the day, finished with just about 20 fantasy points. The depth is there.
I don't think we clocked that Jordan Addison had a chance of playing. We didn't talk about him at all. I don't think any of us realized he was practicing again and there was a chance he was going to be in on that game.
Yeah, I know.
But another spot on thing we kept saying, even though Minnesota's defense is good, that has potential shootout written all over it, and definitely turned into a boat race. It was like 30-3 at some point or something like that. And then Green Bay started waking up. So it turned into a nice little fantasy feast. Unfortunately, I don't know if Justin was paying attention, but I had no idea that Jordan Addison was going to be part of that whole thing. You're right about Leggett. Probably safe to say Jonathan Mingo is basically dead. I think Leggett has supplanted himself as the only guy besides Deontay Johnson that you want a piece of now that what's his name? Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen is out of the way. God bless him.
The great Adam Thielen has stepped aside. William, you're muted. I don't know if you know that.
What a sacrifice for Adam Thielen.
Yes, it's just there's noise because he has a fan turned on in the background.
Turn off the fan.
This man speaks for you, William.
You don't know shit. Speak for me.
Shut that fan up. I heard it as soon as you undid it.
But yeah, Isaac falls again. Isaac falls to Justin and falls to 0-4, while Justin improves to 2-2.
I'm trying to figure out when to get into it. It feels like now is a decent time. We didn't talk about some behind the scenes transactions that took place this very afternoon. Maybe we should have.
I feel like we should talk about that in the next episode,
or at the end of this preview,
or at the end of this one.
Let's do it at the end of this one. Yeah.
Fine.
Oh, you don't like that?
Go back Isaac, to mute. Dude,
do damn. Something. God damn.
Yeah, what are your get some inspirational words for Isaac? 0-4. I know
Isaac, you fucking suck.
All right.
You ruined it.
Find another hobby.
God. Focus on running a business.
God damn, dude. I didn't go that far. Oh, God.
What? He's doing well. That's not even a shot.
What are you talking about? God.
What? Did he go bankrupt and I missed it?
No.
Yeah. Shut up.
I didn't say that anything. You suck at fantasy is what you're trying to
say. I didn't say, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he just keeps, well, we'll get to it. But yeah, he's not, you know, he's not ready for today. We thought there was a chance, but actually a funny line I heard from this preview is I said, yeah, I'll pick Isaac to win. Anthony Richardson scores more than 8 points. Lock it in. And he scored fucking five. It wasn't even a bold claim, and he didn't even reach it.
Yeah, you need to work for Vegas in those bet lines too.
That's who he needs to trade away and give away, Anthony Richardson.
Dude, he gave away his backup with her. It's rough out there.
Oof.
Rough out there, QB landscape. Oh, all right. Who next?
I can do Joe versus Scott.
Joe Scott.
Because I think I remember choosing Joe to win this one.
Boom. You did.
All right. We got Joe versus Scott on this one. Joe took the win, 103 points to Scott's 78 points. James Conner, touchdown all day.
That's what it was. Jose, you said I was going to pick James Conner, but I'm afraid of having two Cardinals, the Harrison Conner. They both got in the end.
God dang it.
It's all right. Chris Godwin would have fucked you. Doesn't matter.
True. Yeah, I would have fucked you. Sorry. James Conner, obviously a big highlight on this team. Mike Evans also got in the end zone. Travis Kelce, still no touchdown this week. I know we talked about that in the last podcast about that the amount of touchdowns of him decreasing. Terry McLaurin, I think we did talk about that the last time about getting him in his lineup, and I think it was the right move. He got in the end zone. Seven receptions, 52 yards, and a touchdown. Those are just really the big highlights on Joe's side. And Juwan Jennings finally came down to earth with no touchdown, 88 yards. Jake Ferguson, normal.
Did Debo play in this game?
Yes.
But no Kittle still. So Juwan Jennings was there.
Kittle?
Kittle was still there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, both came back.
So that's probably why Juwan Jennings didn't go off.
Well, the fact that he had 88 yards on three catches is crazy. I don't know if he had a bomb or something, but that's a lot for three catches.
Yeah. That's true. Well, so just the notable players he had on the bench. Jared Goff had an awesome game against Seattle on Monday night. That was a fun game to watch. Christian Kirk. And his kicker, Younghoe Koo.
Younghoe, how dare points. You sit Younghoe, Joe?
Yeah, yeah, I think he hit
the kicker defense, Houston stack.
I think he hit two field goals over 50 yards, I think, if I see this correctly.
Yep.
Yeah, wild. Mm-hmm. That's on Joe's side, going to Scott's side. Jordan Love is back and rocking.
That was another thing. It was Justin Herbert versus Jordan Love. And after talking it through, Jose, you're on the Herbert wagon, but after talking it through, you said, you know what? I think I changed my mind. Because we were sort of scared of Minnesota's defense, but we're telling like it could be one of those weird division shootout situations. And yeah, Jordan Love fucking throwing it 54 times in his first game back.
How could he? Yeah, I'm looking at his stat line. Three interceptions, and I'm like, oh, he still has nearly like almost 30 fantasy points. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Four touchdowns. That'll do it.
Yeah, awesome game he had. Nothing really from – is this Bijan or – yeah, this is Bijan Robinson. Did not find the end zone.
People are getting a little scared there. Tyler Algier getting more work than people are comfortable with.
Oh, is that what happened this week?
Yeah, I'll look up Algier's numbers, but, yeah, only seven carries for Bijan in a close game. It's not like they were, like, in pass mode.
And it wasn't just this week either.
Algier also had eight carries. They had the same amount of carries. Bijan played more snaps, but yeah, only two more touches.
Jeez.
Yeah, those things.
That's a little concerning. Yeah, I didn't realize that. The other B Rob is the one that was trying to highlight here. That's Brian Robinson with Washington. And Washington looking different this week, man.
Jaden Daniels.
I think they're starting to get confident with that rookie, rightfully
right,
so.
Right, yeah. So
looking good.
That might be something to look out for on that offense. Luke McCaffrey, owners, rise up. McConkey scoring another touchdown on his bench. At what point do you start this guy, right? No? I don't think so.
I'm never going to be a Ladd McConkey fan. He's my new Adam Thielen.
I was going to say.
He's my new
Adam. Because he's white.
Yeah, he's fucking 6 foot nothing, 185, white. What are you doing? What are you doing in the league? So you got a silly ass name. I don't care. I'm going to rail against him for his whole career. He had a decent game. I mean, it helps him that there are no pass games. Like, I just look at him and I see another Hunter Renfrow, which, like, sure, he had a couple random games right there, but where's Hunter Renfrow right now?
I was going to say, what happened to that guy?
Yeah. He's gone. He's not on the team.
Yeah, he's fucking selling NFL insurance, which is what he looked like he should be doing in the first place.
Yeah. And it's funny because I had a lot of high hopes for Renfrow. I was like, oh, he looks good. He's fast. He runs routes well. He's okay. But, dude, the guy never – even when he was the only wide receiver – never did anything. So,
That's what scares me now about white pass catchers. Like, do they look like? Do they look?
You said it.
Do they look like they can sell, you know, car insurance, like Mario said? And if so, like, should I be concerned? Because Brock Bauer is also, I mean, he's a tight end, but he's a pass catcher too. Like, but like, he kind of looks like he could. I would see him at All State.
Trade him now.
At least.
Bowers is like, yeah, I actually saw Bowers' face for the first time this past week. I was like, he looks like that.
Oh my God.
But at least he's like built like a beast, you know, like that.
That is true.
You were turned on.
He was built to be a tight end. Yeah, you should keep him. Or you can turn him to me.
McConkey.
We'll talk.
Bowers.
Oh. He has eye candy for you, Mario.
Who?
You? You said you liked the way he looked.
That is like not at all what I said. I said he's built well. Feel real well.
One bone I wanted to pick on Scott's on Scott's side was Rome Odunze, because last week he had 11 targets, 6 catches, 1 touchdown, finished the day with 17 fantasy points in week 3. Fast forward to week 4, which is the week that has just ended, only 3 targets, 1 catch. That's it, 1 point. And he ruined a 6-leg parlay for me. He was the only one that didn't. I was a reception parlay. And I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a reception parlay, and I had him over like 4 receptions. And so he only had 1, and I'm just like, what the fuck? So I was messaging Scott, like, what's going on over there, man? Because like, I feel like last week was the breakout game. It was, you know, I was expecting more. And he's like, dude, you and me both. I don't know. So
it's Caleb Williams. That's the problem.
Yeah, they're gonna go the way Caleb goes, and Caleb didn't go so hot this week.
I can't wait to recap Mario's matchup.
But yeah, the Rams pass defense is not good. So that's not the one that I would have thought would break your parlay. So just tough sledding there.
Mm. Hey, did any of us talk about Courtland Sutton starting him in the lineup last week? I feel like we did for a little while, but then we realized he was playing against the Jets defense.
I don't remember.
Wouldn't have been me.
I don't think we brought him up a ton.
Yeah. That was just a notable. And probably Mike Williams too, notable players that had some productive work this week to consider moving forward.
Yep.
But yeah, that is really all. I mean, Devin Singletary, Jalen Waddle, Amari Cooper, Greg Dulcich putting up donuts, Rome Odunze, just all disappointing this week, and ultimately bringing down Scott this week against Joe.
Yeah, raise your hand if your tight end gave you 0 points. It's going to happen.
do you have a problem with tight ends? I don't.
Not yet.
Is there a Mockingbird here?
I have 3 of the top 5 tight ends, homie.
Damn.
Maybe it's like top 6.
Is Pat Freiermuth top 5?
He's 5 or 6, yeah. After last week.
Let's talk trade.
What do you have? Your whole fucking team's in the hospital.
Hey, dude, fuck off. Fuck off, Janet.
All right. We already did William, right?
Yeah.
We did.
Did William.
And we did Isaac and
William, you want one? Or you want to stay on the sidelines?
Yeah. I'm going to do Mario and Miller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mario sucks. The end. Mario won this one 108 to Miller 72. This one's pretty straightforward. Oh. Miller's in rebuild mode.
Hold on, real quick. I just realized. I'm sorry. I just realized that they show Sleeper shows the points, projected points when the week started.
Thanks for that helpful information. Fucking cool. Fuck.
Sorry.
Mario is 3-1. We'll start off on Mario's side. Caleb Williams still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why are you starting him? Breece Hall, dude. You start worrying, panicking?
Nah, Denver's D is just fucking good.
Okay.
And the way they're using him isn't great yet. Dude, Nathaniel Hackett is just trash. That, and I don't know how much of it is Rodgers sticking up for the guy or what, but I was actively rooting for – I think I said it. I was rooting for Denver to win this game because fuck Nathaniel Hackett and all that petty stuff about Rodgers coming in and saying, keep my coach's name out of your mouth. Well, you fucking lose 10-9 to Bo Nix at home.
Yeah.
Trash. Hackett sucks.
Well, Derrick Henry went off for you, dude. Woo! My goodness. He went off for like a 87-yard touchdown run. I think one of the first plays.
30-year-old Derrick Henry, 247 pounds, was outrunning DBs on a 90-yard sprint.
They could not catch him.
It was very exciting.
on a week that you didn't need it.
That is awesome. Hey,
I'll always take points for tiebreaker purposes.
Can I say as the person who drafted Derrick Henry and ultimately traded him away a couple years ago to win that championship? I was watching. Yeah, so after he broke off that long touchdown, I was just like standing in front of my TV, arms crossed, like smiling, just looking at the TV, and it was like I could like almost step outside of myself and watch myself watching Derrick Henry, the replays of him. And just like, I hear Linger by the Cranberries playing in the background. Just like, I'm so happy, but I miss him. I'm so sad. I'm like, oh, like, I could have still had the guy. And oh my gosh, it was just, God, I love Derrick Henry.
Maybe down the line.
God damn.
Nice one, William.
He'll
sign a 10-day contract and you can retire on your team officially.
I love that. We'll talk.
Dude, he showed up, dude. He showed up. Tyreek Hill. I mean, that offense isn't going to do shit. I think Huntley is the better quarterback what they have right now, but it's going to take him a couple weeks or a few weeks to just find his rhythm and groove. Tyreek Hill. I'm glad I traded him to you.
I appreciate that they at least tried to get him involved. Like 7 targets and 3 carries they tried to put in his hands. But, man, I said this last week that it makes me respect LaFleur so much more that Malik Willis can come in and they don't miss a beat for the most part. And then you watch like this embarrassment of a performance from Miami, who has Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and A-Chan, like all these dynamic weapons. And it looked disgusting. Like I like Mike McDaniel, but like he may not have a job at the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so. I know I saw an interview they were asking, like, because Tyreek Hill was going off. You can see him in the back just going off, and he's just upset. He's just like, oh, like, he has every right to be angry. Like, I'd be angry, you know? Like, he's a competitive player.
I love it. I love it when I feel like my players are doing what I'm doing at home. And just like they're just channeling it to them. Like, yes, let them know. Let them know we're not happy. We need to fix this.
Suck a fuck. Justin Jefferson, consistent.
Stud.
Consistent. 14.50 points. Mark Andrews, dude. Woo, what's up, dude? What's going on?
It's not looking good. It's not looking good. I paid way too much for a new tight end today. I said on the pod last week that I was like, dude, I might start Eric All. Who gives a fuck? And that would have been the right play. He only had 2.8 points, but he caught 4 balls. Derrick Henry, that's 2 goose eggs in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what tight end did you get? I think you actually outbid me.
Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, you did. You fuck.
That's why I wanted some money from you, because I knew I was going to overpay for this.
Shit. See, I told you. I told you.
It's $4.
Well, what? It's $4. No, like, that was a legitimate thing. We'll get to that in the preview. But what I offered to you, I offered to Justin first. And he's like, no, I'll just pick him up when you drop him. And I was like, oh, motherfucker. Now, I'm gonna sell him for less, and I'm going to play him right against you.
I hope they score like 20 points this week.
It was a legit play.
Yeah, it is. Shakir, 6.20. Jaden Reed. Jordan Love comes back. Jaden Reed immediately.
Love that guy.
Weapon. So you got something there. As we saw, like, in week one, you know, before Jordan Love got hurt. Mm-hmm. Your kicker, you know, did average 7.30. Denver's defense, 10. Notable players on your bench. I'll mention it. Justin Fields. He's looking good. I have him in guillotine. He is doing well.
Dude, if he runs, it's solid. And again, I loved all three quarterback matchups this week. Geno had a good game. He threw the ball 56 fucking times. They just throw it nonstop. And I was like, I feel like they're going to be good, but I just, you know, the first round pick keeps messing with my head. Caleb finally had a good week last week. I've started Caleb 3 out of 4 weeks. The 1 week I did not start him is when he had his, you know, nice 350-yard game. Mm. Fun fact, if I would have started Caleb Williams every week, I would be 4-0 right now. But another fun fact, I looked it up because I got curious. You know, I've had these three quarterbacks to choose from, Geno, Justin Fields, and Caleb, to go through. Not only have I not picked the best one, I have, in fact, picked the worst one, the lowest scoring of the three, 4 consecutive weeks. The absolute worst pick, the
Get
lowest
rid score. Of all your quarterbacks, just stick with one.
No, the weird part is that he's winning still.
Fields is at, I mean, I think right now it's Geno and Fields. Like, Caleb, I'm done with the Caleb experiment. Fields and Geno have both at least broken 20. Caleb, if he could go on taxi right now, he could. That's the saddest news, is that I could have not drafted a quarterback this year, and I'm fine with Geno and Fields. So that's like some of the stubbornness that's coming out, where I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to keep rolling him out there. So
So would you have drafted Brock Bowers then?
Because if we were to redraft today, I would have taken Bowers. Damn. Jose, if you want to trade, I would listen. Just straight up. Bowers for Caleb experiment. Because, you know, you got Josh Allen, but he's probably got a long time left, actually. So, never mind.
Kyler does too, I think.
Well,
yeah.
That's it on Mario's side, really. On Miller's side, I mean, he started Andy Dalton this week. Very interesting play. Put up 15.70.
I'm gonna assume that noise was you scrolling through the rest of the roster.
I'm all,
dude, but hey, this boy Taysom Thrill, fucking 2 touchdowns, and then he dies for him, like he's his chest got exploded. Seriously. Or something. So he's out for the week or several weeks, maybe.
Yeah, went for 2 touchdowns. I guess, yeah, notable player there. Other than that, nobody really to. Really talk about get Bigsby. Looks like he's taking more.
He's running well.
But looks like he's questionable, so I guess he got hurt. But Dantavion Wicks. What does this mean again? He did really well. Other than that, yeah, Miller. 72 points, 0-4 against Mario's 108, and he is 3-1.
Man, I want a bye week.
And nothing else for Miller's.
You get it next week.
No, that's the week. I already told you guys. That's the week. Miller's going to figure it out, figure something out, and I'm going to lose. I need to win this week, this coming week, and so I can, be a competitive next week.
Oh, you don't play him. You got Joe this week. Okay. It's coming week. All right. I thought I had a mistake. All right. Rounded it out. Who we got? Fonz and Jose, are y'all last? Oh, y'all played each other.
We played each other. We also have Castro and Noe.
And Noe. Shit. Which one do I want to leave to William? I'll do y'all's and then William can wrap it up. All right. This was another one that had a pretty close projection up until I think the Sunday night / Monday night games. Fonz, flexing them, comes away. You know, the final score was not indicative of how close the games were for most of the day, but you come away with the win, 112 to Jose's 80. Big reason for the 80, Josh Allen. Yeah, like you said, pulled him in the third quarter. Buffalo just kind of got manhandled overall. I guess he is a little hot and cold, didn't he? 39-37. So 30-point game incoming, maybe. Although both of his bad games were on the road. I don't think you're really that scared of Houston, which is who he plays next week.
Not yet.
Saquon failed to get in the end zone. Count your blessings, William. The man already has 5 touchdowns. I think, what's your bet? 8? Is it under 8?
Under 9.
Yeah, 8.5 was the line, so 8.5. Bet's okay, over. So 9.
Well, the man still sits at 5 after only 4 weeks of playing.
He can still break his knee. Just saying.
Andy, never learn. You can open up about this if you want, but the next two players, both potential kind of concerns, not because of talent, obviously, but just the Dolphins are looking such disarray right now. HN gets 10 carries, but he was just stuffed every single time he touched it. 10 for 15, caught 3 balls, did nothing. It's just they know that there's no – defenses know there's no legitimate quarterback back there, and they yeah, they're snuffing out the talented players every time. And Garrett Wilson kind of has the same thing. Like he's going to get the number one corner treatment. And this was a Pat Surtain game. And even if it's not number one corner, it seems like defenses are just going to lock in on him and say like, yeah, we'll take our odds with Alan Lazard and, you know, old man Mike Williams. So yeah, I don't know if you have any grievances you care to get out about either one of those guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, this past week, I mean, right, the Dolphins offense, Jets offense was just a fucking, like, it was just terrible. So terrible to watch it, terrible for fantasy, at least from my perspective with Achan and Garrett Wilson. I would hope for both that they just become more creative with what they currently have and do something different from what they've been doing. But yeah, Achan, a bit concerned, just more so around his health. Cause they, I mean, he's getting the carries. It's just like in this last game, you're right. He was getting stuffed and every time he would get stuffed, I was like, oh, something's going to break like in his body, he's going to get injured. So like, that's a concern. I would love to see more of him more involved with the passing game, but I mean, this past week, he only got 3 receptions, which, you know, just probably a little bit below average there. So yeah, I hope they figure it out there. And for Garrett Wilson, like, man, I don't know what's going on with that offense, with that Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson connection. Obviously, Garrett Wilson fumbled early on in the game. And for the remainder of the game, or for the at least like the next 2 quarters, he was like in jail, like no targets. He was on the field just doing cardio, not involved. And then he finally started getting more, a little bit more involved at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth. But just to no avail, right? Like no, very low production, 5 catches for 41 yards. That fumble did hurt his fantasy performance. So yeah, I'm concerned. Like, it's been 4 weeks, really haven't seen, you know, what everyone had, me especially, had hoped for with Garrett Will, with Aaron Rodgers healthy. And then, you know, now there's talk about potentially Davante Adams coming on board if there's a trade to be made and if that happens. Wow. And so if that happens, obviously Garrett Wilson's no longer, I was gonna say no longer the favorite. I don't think he's been the favorite the last 2 weeks. So definitely concerned there. I just hope something turns around and, ball security seems to be a thing for him and another player, on my roster. So,
I don't know, Devontae, we don't need to dive in cause that may not happen, but you know, maybe it loosens up the top corners away from his attention. But man, I just looked at his future schedule. Minnesota, but who's like, was an all-world defense before Green Bay, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, New England. Like, those are the next 4. It doesn't get really any easier for the next few weeks. We'll talk about in lineup setting time, like whether or not there's other options, but I mean, the volume's there, the targets are there, 11, 6, 9, 8, you'll take that, but it's just not doing anything with him. But
yeah, it's also his jersey, he's something's different. Like, he looks very scrawny and he doesn't fit the build of an NFL receiver. I'm just like, come on, like I need something needs to happen, something needs to change here. Maybe it's the jersey.
Number 5, what a stupid number. I don't like this whole college number bullshit that they switched over to. All right, moving on down. Your boy Deontay, the most obvious touchdown call of the entire week. Deontay against Cincinnati's trash-ass defense, 13 targets. Saw that coming. Unfortunate, we didn't actually point out that Andy Dalton had a revenge game here too. Maybe it didn't matter because he's been on so many teams. We forgot that it's been so long since he was on Cincinnati. But he did go in and not scoop up the win. You went double tight end. Kittle found the end zone for you.
Oh, yeah.
So good sign.
It was an amazing catch, like touchdown grab, by the way. I don't know if y'all saw it, but.
Was no, I missed a lot of games. That
pretty amazing. Yeah, didn't get 200. And then he got injured again. So we'll see how that goes.
Damn, you're heavy with Niners. Kittle, Debo, and Jake Moody. You went all three of those. Decent production out of all of them, Moody included. And then Vikings defense. We talked about whether or not that was nerves, but the three interceptions definitely saved their day. And it looks like they forced a fumble as well. So minus 8 points. Then Fonz on the other side. I had said your starting lineup was stout. When you're at 100% with no bye weeks, no injuries, probably can hang with just about anybody. And that proved to be true. Dak was kind of modest in his game against the Giants on Thursday night, but he did find CD for almost 100 yards and in the end zone. Kyle Williams continues to produce. Running back 4 on the season, has double digits every single week, including a 29-point game. Just very steady. I think there was some nerves that maybe Blake Corum was going to cut into the workload, and they don't want to put all this stress on him. Like, that shit is all out the window right now. As long as Kyron is healthy. Like, has Blake Corum even seen the field? I haven't seen that dude at all.
I think he has.
Has he? Oh shit. Okay.
I could have sworn I saw him in a play or two, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think Joe gave up a future. He gave up Jalen Hurts to Noe for the rights to draft Blake Corum.
Yep.
In that deal.
Oh, so with correction, he's only been on the field once, and it was only 15% of the snaps week 2.
Damn.
Or every time he's been benched.
Damn. Why even fucking. Yeah, whatever. All right. Good news for Kyron. Good news for Kyron. David Montgomery, man, dude, that guy has been quietly really good. I think Jahmyr Gibbs gets a ton of attention, but 15, 13, 18, 14, he has scored every single week. He's fucking Jamal Williams 2.0.
Yep.
Dude, did y'all see that beast mode that he pulled off on the game?
I heard about it. I didn't see it though.
Yeah, dude. Jared Goff just passed him the ball. And he just knocked one of the defenders out on his ass. Just boom! And it took off and went to the left. It was great.
I heard somebody describe it. They're like, he got the ball and basically threw 12 Seattle defenders around. Just like making up. You got to find that clip and share it. We can share with the class.
Dude, it's a tough hit, man. He just went. It looked like Zidane when he headbutted the soccer player? It was kind of like that. He just went down and just and then just. Got his footing back up and just started running again and just.
Which soccer player is this?
They couldn't bring him down. Zidane.
It was like 15 years ago or something.
It was during the World Cup. It was this last World Cup, right? When he retired. It was the last thing he ever did before he retired.
Dude, a lot of people remember that guy's name. It was fucking awesome. He was just
he's just like, you talking shit, bitch.
You don't expect a fucking headbutt. No, it's not like you. No. Right? Fonz, you got to find the clip and share it. But they're just in an altercation, just right in each other's face, and the dude just lowers his head and puts it right in this guy's chest. Can't notice the headbutt guy.
He doesn't throw a swing or anything. He just headbutts him. That's what he did.
Chris Olave, I know you've had a little bit of frustrations with his lack of end zone appearances, but the volume's there, the catches are there, the yardage is there. Just it needs to kind of put it together. Still, Dalton Kincaid at this point, 4 points from a tight end is fucking all world tight end.
Yeah.
In a world where it's like less than 2 is frequent for a lot of people right now, it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what you do, man. Like, we've never really talked about tight end premium leagues. In my head, that's always been like, all it's going to do is create a wider gap for like the Travis Kelce's and the guys who get a lot of volume. Cause premium means maybe they get a half point per catch or they get more points for a touchdown or whatever. I just don't see a way to keep that position fucking relevant. Something down the line.
Maybe it's just a weird year. It'll recover.
Your boy DJ Moore found the end zone, kind of saved his day. He only had 20 yards otherwise. And then Bucky Irving continues to eat in to that Rashad White workload. 10 for 49, also finds the end zone. Brandon Aubrey, steady as it gets. Although, so Brandon Aubrey was having himself a day, another perfect day. Could have iced the game. The guy had a 60-yarder in this one. Could have iced the game. I think it was like 50-something as it came through.
40. It was a 40-yard attempt.
Exactly 40?
Yeah, I think it was exactly 40. Yeah, I remember it being short.
For me. But
okay.
He comes up on an attempt and he misses it, which is like, of course, it's like the most Cowboys thing ever, and see if they can blow the game. They end up holding on 20 to 15. But I find out later, and this is where all the script writers come in, that the Cowboys won by 5 and the spread was 5.5. So Brandon Aubrey, Mr. Automatic, most accurate field goal kicker, had just hit a 60-yarder earlier that game, misses it. And yeah, all the conspiracy theorists,
all the degenerates go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, apparently most people were pounding Cowboys to cover, and that's probably what the most popular bet was. But yeah, some
51 yard fielder. Yep, you're right.
51. Which, like, you know, that's no chip shot, but for him,
Brandon Aubrey, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever. Just a little aside. Not much to talk about on your bench, Fonz, because as we said, your bench is not as pretty as your starters. But yeah, here's your chance to air out any thoughts and feelings you have on your team's performance.
That realization that I do not have depth on my team. Like, I literally have just everybody I'm starting is the best results I'm going to get from my team every week. In fact, I think we checked the percentage, right? On how I am on my start sit.
I think you were the highest.
Yeah. I'm the highest because I don't have anybody else. Yeah, here we go. 91.7% average of start sit accuracy. So
not jeez, everybody Fonz, has you should do something Fields. About that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we do. All right. I won't tell you now, but I did something.
All right. Last game of the week. We got birthday boy. Well, a week ago, former birthday boy Castro went up against Noe. Who wants it?
I will take it. I got my boy. I'm getting covered. We got here Castro's 121 points to Noe's 68 points. Man, what happened? Originally, Noe was projected to do 92 points and ended up with 68. Jaden Daniels went off. J.K. Dobbins did not. Neither did ETN. I think ETN got hurt at one point, too. He was sending out a lot of the plays. Let me see what his final percentage was.
It says half. He's missing practice for a shoulder issue right now.
So, yeah, that didn't help that his two running backs didn't do much for him.
Yeah, and for Dobbins, this is the second straight week he's had just kind of a below average or below anticipated week after starting the first 2 weeks, scoring, I mean, nearly 20 fantasy points. He 5.4 last week and 6.2 this week. So,
I think it's just the matchups. I think that's what it was, but I guess we'll see here as the season goes on. Marvin Harrison, highlight of probably the top highlight of his team this week, continues to be a stud and finds himself in the end zone again. 5 receptions, 45 yards, and 1 touchdown.
And then touchdown cashed in like the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. He did nothing else after that.
And that's all that happened. Like, yeah. Today. But you can't say highlight and skip over his quarterback.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jaden Daniels. I just felt like he did great and was last week and was just continuing on that streak. Marvin Harrison was, I was concerned about that, him continuing to do well, but yeah, you're right. Jaden Daniels is probably the top highlight of his week. Kyle Pitts, donuts, my God. Drake London did not find the end zone. Zay Flowers with Buffalo, they did not need him. George Pickens, Seven receptions, 113 yards, no touchdown, but a fumble lost as well. So yeah, notable players on the bench. Really nobody.
Jalen, he could have done differently.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do now, Noe, with Jaden Daniels and now Jalen Hurts as your two QBs? Like, you traded to get Jalen Hurts, and now it's just like it's not even a point to start him at all.
He's going to try to move Trevor, I bet.
Yeah, if you can.
Good luck. Ultimate
sell low. Yeah, I need a quarterback. I could use
Dude, Sam Darnold is better than Trevor Lawrence right now.
Yeah.
I don't want Trevor Lawrence. I want the rook.
You want Hurts? Oh, you want
Jay? Oh, you're not going to get that guy.
You're not going to get it. Yeah.
You think I'm going to get him?
Not with your value system? No.
Watch me.
Kidding me?
Watch me.
Dude, someone sends you an offer, you're like, okay, all right, let me think about it. Crickets.
Send me an offer, Deez, and I'll show you what happens.
I'm done trading with you. Send me an offer. I don't know if I've ever traded with you.
You see? You don't even know.
I know, that's why I don't trade with you.
So yeah, Noe loses that match. Let me go on Castro's side, 121 points.
Well, sorry. Lastly, for Noe, before we go, I knew Jaden Daniels was having a good year. I mean, I don't think we can overstate how good it's been. 21 for 23 last week, 26 for 30 this week. Three games with 24 plus, two with over 28. I mean, how many guys? We just talked about Mahomes hasn't had a 20-point game in, you know, like over a year at this point, and he is the QB1 through 4 weeks, which is, I mean. For every we talked about, what's his name, CJ Stroud versus Bryce Young. I'm not going to say Caleb Williams is Bryce Young, but like Jaden Daniels is definitely looking more like the CJ. To come out this hot, this quick is not an easy task. That's definitely a minority. So it's Noe went with his gut and reached, took him number 4 overall, and you know, the rest of his team needs a little work. But if this kid stays healthy, he's looking legit for a long time.
Paying off, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely was downplaying that. He's a great, great pickup. Going to Castro's side, Joe Burrow having a 16-point game. Jahmyr Gibbs finding the end zone twice. Jonathan Taylor getting the end zone as well. Jamar Chase, DK Metcalf, and Alvin Kamara. Just all studs for Castro.
Kamara RB1 on the year. Helped in large part by that 42-point Cowboys game, but still, RB1.
Yeah. And, you know, Cash's not here to talk about it, but do you guys remember last year or last season that Castro's team was struggling because Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase just couldn't get it going?
Yep.
Do you remember who he faced off against where that turned around?
Oh, yeah, that was you, big time.
That was me, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened last week? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Only loss I have so far this season is the Castro because I was his fucking get right game.
Well, I realized today that I've paid Castro. He's won the weekly prize 3 weeks in a row now. I've sent him $120, which kills me because I know he was just in Vegas. So just that money, I might as well fucking flush it. It's gone. So I paid him again today. So what's it? I paid him yesterday. But yeah, that dude's, you know, I'm putting some gas money in his wallet at the very least, or he's putting it in his own wallet.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Castro. Notable players on his bench: Baker Mayfield. I don't think you star him over Joe Burrow, but I mean, you can't ignore Baker Mayfield and how well he's playing.
QB3.
I'm surprised he's still on Castro's roster, given all the hate Baker Mayfield's been giving to Tom Brady. You know, that's, I thought Tom Brady was Castro's guy.
Well, really, he's been giving him hate?
It was just stuff that was taken out of context. But yeah,
Castro's a fake fan.
He made a comment. He's a
fake fan. That's why.
I don't want to misquote it, but Baker was basically saying that like everyone was really tense around the building when he got there. That Brady like ran a very strict and tight ship, and that everything's a little bit more loose now, blah blah blah, which is a bold thing to say against a guy who won a Super Bowl there. And Brady responded something to the effect of, I wasn't there. If I want to have fun, I'm going to Disneyland. Like, we were there to win and get some work done. It's like exactly what you'd expect Brady to say.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not here to have fun. Like,
we're here
to have fun.
We're here to win a championship.
With my family. Yeah. Go to Disneyland. This is work. Like, it was like, what a Tom Brady response.
I do remember he said, it sounds like it would be more stressful not winning a championship than. If I wanted to have fun, I'd go to Disneyland.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Baker also said it was taken out of context, so it's just fun. It's just fun little fodder.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's really it on Castro's side. No notable bench players except Baker Mayfield on his bench, and it doesn't show the accuracy of his start sit on here, but. Yeah. Keep it up, Castro. Here, Castro improves to 3-1. And finally, Noe goes down with a loss. I was afraid he was going to go 4-0, but thank you, Castro, for getting back down there.
Yeah, he scored 60 points back to back weeks, but he played Isaac last week, so he got away.
Damn.
Okay. So, to put a button on this recap episode, standings update. In last place at 0-4. Is Miller, who kind of actively is chasing this. Isaac, also at 0-4, 11th place. Coming in at 10th is Warwick at 2-2. We got a bunch of 2-2s coming up, pretty much 5 through 10. So Warwick is in 10th, Scott at 9, Joe at 8, Justin at 7, William, you come in at 6. Funny thing with y'all having the same record. If the playoffs started today, it's too early to say that, but you actually would squeak in over Justin with a points advantage on him. Then Jose comes in at 5, leading all the 2-2 groups, facing off against Joe. So someone's going to drop to 2-3 after next week's game.
Geez, there's a poop sign next to your points allowed.
It's because I have the most points scored against me. And this is like, I feel like the 3 years straight, I start off this way. Like, I'm right up there, like second, like first or second or third in points scored, but the points scored against me are like 1-2. I'm like, again, here we go.
It's like that that sixth spot going to the points leader role was almost created for you because you
the D's rule.
Just like, this can't keep happening. If we're not going to go to points against league median, it's just got to be. We've got to have something to offset this. And then Noe, first loss, drops from first all the way to fourth.
Fraud.
I mean, he's not lying. There's always one fraud in the top six.
I come in at 3-1. At third, Bonds, you are actually – second place in total offense, coming in 3-1. Second place in offense, second place in the standings. And then Castro, number one in points, number one in the record books, at 3-1, sits at top right now.
Correction, Fonz is third in offense, if we're going off points allowed. Points four, sorry.
Oh, you got him by four. Okay.
I have to point these things out because in 4 or 5 weeks, if I fall to like eighth place and I have second most points at four. It's gonna make myself feel better when I look back on these episodes. It's not my fault.
I gotta start putting Justin Fields in so I can climb this ladder a little bit. I think I'd be right up there if I had fucking put that guy in at any point. Okay, that is a button on week number 4.
Nice.
Pretty good on time. Congrats to all the winners. I think we first quarter of the season.
Congrats, winners.
First quarter of the season.
Always goes by so fast.
I know. It sucks.
Hey, this is for all the 0-4 teams. You suck. You should quit.
Damn.
Yeah.
They had the most draft picks. It's going to be them like for the next 2 seasons with the just pick up to pick, back to back picks.
Just kidding, Miller and Isaac. Just kidding. Relax. Relax.
All right. We're done.
Big Willie signing out.
See ya, buddy.
Bye.
Peace.